Hello everyone and welcome in to the Youth Hoops Pod presented by Pro Skills Basketball. Youth basketball is often disorganized, focused solely on winning, and generally frustrating. But at Pro Skills Basketball, our mission is to change that culture. We strive to provide a more professional experience for parents, players, and coaches. One focused on organized communication, fun, mutual respect, and personal growth, on and off the court. And the Youth Hoops Pod is a part of that. This podcast covers a wide range of youth basketball topics, from high school and AAU basketball to college recruiting, NCAA, NBA, overseas basketball, mental health and performance, leadership, and much more. Now let's jump into today's conversation. We hope you enjoy.
Welcome back to the Youth Hoops Pod presented by Pro Skills Basketball. Chris Goodrum here and your host for today's conversation. Our co-pilot today is the one and only PSB co-founder, the machine himself, Brendan Winters. Brendan, welcome back to the pod, my friend.
Thanks, Chris. Always good to be here.
Absolutely. Our guest today is here because A, he's a friend. B, maybe a future PSB San Fran director, just going to put that out into the universe. And C has a lot to say about our topic, 3v3, the benefits and why it should be more prevalent in youth basketball. Our guest, Mr. Craig Moore. How's it going, Craig?
Great, man. Appreciate you guys having me on. Look forward to talking about some 3v3. And hopefully you're right about the director of the Bay Area.
100% right. You just need to figure it out on your side. So first off, for the listener, Craig is in San Fran, if you haven't picked up on that. It's 11 a.m. here in Charlotte for Brendan and I, 8 a.m. Craig time. Craig, we're honored that you decided to start your day with us. And then secondly, Craig, I could have gone into a deep dive of just everything that is your world and how you got to be here on this pod with us, but I didn't. I didn't take that time, and I apologize. Could you give the listener just some context into kind of you and your relationship, both to basketball and then why we're ultimately here to talk 3v3?
Yeah, so I started out hooping in Doylestown, Pennsylvania, played at the Lawrenceville School, won a state championship with some pretty good teammates there. Joakim Noah was our featured star there. You know, national champion down in Florida and Chicago Bull. So had a good career in high school, went on to play at Northwestern, was recruited by Davidson, may have been able to be an alumni with Brendan, but didn't completely happen. But was at Northwestern for 4 years, had a great 4 years, always wished we win a couple more games, but loved my experience. Played a couple years in Europe and realized pretty quickly that I'm a dime a dozen over there, 6'3" white shooter. So wasn't going to have a huge long career like some other guys. So decided to go into the working world, started working in financial services, but I wasn't done kind of scratching the itch that I needed. I'm still trying to scratch it. It's still pretty itchy, but you know, so I was trying to look for other ways to compete, play basketball, and found 3-on-3. We always refer to it as 3x3. In the 3x3 world, but 3v3 has become a huge part of my life. Been playing professionally since 2014, was on the 2014 U.S. national team, 2017 U.S. national team, that competed in the World Cup in France and Russia, respectively. So have had some really fun times, prolonged my career, and have completely bought into why 3-on-3 needs to be a part of every basketball player, whether it's in the youth, college, high school, professional. I just see a lot of benefits that translate into any type of 5-on-5 game. So look forward to talking to you guys. It's been fun getting to know you over the years. So look forward to a fun conversation.
That's great, Craig. So I want to start with what you just ended with. Over your career in the 3x3 world, thank you for correcting us, you talk about benefits, right? And so how, like, look at what you've seen in your career and then in your involvement with 3x3 in the professional landscape and the benefits you've seen with professionals. And try to help the listener understand, well, what do those benefits mean for youth, right? How can youth benefit from 3x3? Because I would imagine it would be so much larger of a development spectrum if we're starting this at a younger age.
Yeah, so I think what you have to take into consideration is the rules of 3x3. It's continuous play. Obviously, there's three players on the court instead of five. Mm-hmm. You have one sub. You can obviously change the rules for youth however you see fit. 12-second shot clock. So you're really creating a lot more possessions in a shorter amount of time. You're also, with only three players on the court, your usage is going up, right? You're always one pass away. You're not hiding. You're not one of 10 players. You're one of six on the court, right? So offensively, defensively, you're getting a lot more opportunities at touching the basketball, shooting the basketball, dribbling the basketball. So I think that from that perspective, you're just getting a lot more usage in a shorter amount of time, which is going to create development, right? There's more spacing on the floor for opportunities to be creative with kind of the skills that you're trying to develop. I'm a big proponent of all sports are helpful to basketball, football. You know, you want to play baseball because it teaches you certain things. You want to play soccer because it teaches you certain movements, and that's going to help your basketball. Well, same thing with basketball. Different ways of playing basketball is always going to help your end goal of playing 5-on-5, right? So 1-on-1 is going to help certain things. 3-on-3 is going to help certain things. 2-on-2 is going to help certain things. So I think all of those aspects can really be a development tool, but 3-on-3 is probably the most team-oriented of the options that you can play to develop your skills other than 5-on-5, if that makes sense. I know I kind of was pretty long-winded there, but hopefully it makes a little sense.
Yeah, it does. And then you also kind of folded in the small side of games aspect, which I'm a huge fan of as a coach. Everything that I do for 90 minutes has to do with some type of competition or small side of games to put both the defense and offense in some type of disadvantage or advantage. And I think that's just helping to speed up just players' processing power, right? Like, I think one of the biggest things once you start leveling up is, for me, in evaluating a player, is being able to see how quickly they can process information. And the only way you can learn to quickly process is to start learning those situations where you've got to learn kind of the, what's my first read, what's my second, what should I be communicating? And so 3v3, 3x3, small set of games, definitely kind of hit after that. And then the second thing that I love about 3x3 is when you talk about continuous play, when the ball goes in the basket, there is no stop, right? Like, I absolutely love that, because as a coach, it's hard to get players to understand just because you made a basket, you're not done. You can't kind of throw up the three sign, throw up the three in the vein, ice cold. You can't, you know, do all this showcasing. Like, you've got to switch really quickly to a defensive mindset. And so, kind of that 3v3 experience, 3x3 experience. I'm going to change my nomenclature for you, Craig. I'm going to get it right. That 3x3, it definitely helps with that switch from offense to defense or defense to offense. Do you
almost consider it like a, sorry to interrupt.
Yeah, no, go ahead.
Weighted bat in baseball before you go up to hit.
Yeah.
That feels a lot lighter, right? And that's kind of the same thing. You're playing 3-on-3 and you have to go from offense to defense to offense that quickly at the snap of a finger, or else you're giving up a open layup or a shot, or you're letting your teammates down. When you do it in 5-on-5, you have obviously the change of possession. You have to go all the way down the court. Well, 3-on-3, you don't have to do that. It's one pass to the three-point line, clear the basketball, pass it back in, score the basket. So it's like, that's how I always do it. Like,
Craig, I got a question about that. Did that at Davidson, Coach McKillop always harped on like the next play mentality, and I believe even Steph uses that still, next play. Did you find that 3-on-3? I never really thought about it, but because it's so quick and so fast, did it help with developing that skill of, like, after a turnover, after a made basket, whatever it is, like, you just got to move on and get going?
Yeah, because in this sense, you have only yourself and two teammates,
right?
And it's going to be like, if you're at a position, you're your mistake is doubling, right? So you make a mistake, you got to, okay, whatever, I got to move on quickly, next play. Just like you said, with 5-on-5, obviously a lot can happen with dribbling the ball all the way down the court. So you have a little more room for error. With 3-on-3, there's no room for error, and you kind of develop that skill really quickly to move on fast, whether it's a bad call, whether it's a bad shot, whether it's a good play, you know, all of those things. You can't sit idly and celebrate or, you know, moan and groan about a certain possession.
It seems like that'll compound pretty quickly in 3x3.
Very much so. Very
much so. Craig, I got a hot take question for you.
Okay.
Is youth basketball, are we doing too much 5-on-5 games, playing too much, drilling, individual drills? Are we doing too much of that?
From what I see, I'm not around it every day, but from what I see, I would say yes. I think you need to – I'm a big proponent of playing 3-on-3, playing 1-on-1. We've talked about it a little bit. I'm a proponent of putting rules in place, no dribble games, you know, 6-second shot clock. Like, change the rules, make the kids adjust to different rules. And like you said, they're able to kind of, you know, process things faster, and they have to you put in different game situations. So down 3, down 5, all of these things can really help with basketball. And again, I think small-sided games, they do that in soccer all the time. Mm-hmm. Rarely do professional English Premier League teams play 11-on-11 in practice. No, they play 7-on-7. They get more touches. They play with smaller goals. They play with no goalie. They play, you know, keep away half the practice, just working on skills, sharpening their tools. And I think that's something that we could really learn from that sport.
So why aren't we doing it? Right? Like, I mean, it sounds so easy. What keeps coaches, organizations, schools, for that matter, like, where are we missing?
I think it might be a laziness thing. Like, it's easy to just say, oh, let's go play 5-on-5. Let's play to 21. Let's play to, you know, XYZ. Not putting rules in, because it makes it harder on the kids. They might not have success quickly with this. They may have some learn, and we don't want to put kids in position to fail, which we should be making them uncomfortable so that they can learn to be comfortable. I think that's the biggest thing. I'm also a big proponent of, like, if you're a young kid that can't reach 10 foot, you shouldn't be playing on 10 foot. You should be playing on 8 foot until you can reach from the foul line. You know, like, we should almost proportionize sports, right? Like, the court shouldn't be 94 feet for an 11-year-old. It should be half court, or at least the side baskets, you know, like, all of these things should be adjusted, but that takes time and effort from coaching staffs, parents, referees, all of these things, learning different rules. If you play 3-on-3, all of these things take time and effort. And I think that might be lacking from the adult generation. We need to be more proactive in, this is what's best for the kids, and this is why we're doing this, and it's going to benefit them at the end. We have to put a little time into it to make things work.
Yeah. Hey, on a related note, or maybe unrelated, how did you get into 3-on-3? I mean, you've told me the story one time. I think it's pretty interesting, but, you know, what you just said is, like, people need to learn more about it. It takes some effort. It's a different game. Like, how did you end up in 3-on-3? And then how'd you end up with USA Basketball? And then you talk a little bit about that experience as well.
Yeah. So the background there is that I played in the Princeton offense at Northwestern. My coach was a former Princeton coach, Bill Carmody. So we are kind of like the stepchildren of kind of Princeton alumni. And there's a pretty nice Princeton alumni base, Northwestern alumni base in Chicago, obviously. And we had a couple players do internships for a guy named John Rogers, who is chairman, CEO of Ariel Capital Investments, played hoops at Princeton, 1980-81, great player there, captain there. And he has always loved 3-on-3. He just did it with his friends. It was kind of like his golf trips with his buddies. He played in the Hoop It Ups. He played in the Gus Mackers, Shoot the Bull, all these really cool events that they had throughout the United States in the late 80s, early 90s. So he had a 3-on-3 like squad, and he's a avid competitor, like, always wants to win. As he got older, he couldn't win those events with his buddies anymore. So he needed to bring in some younger guys. So by the 2000s, he was looking for Northwestern players, young Princeton players. Even Brown University was coached by Craig Robinson, a Princeton alumni. So he'd have, you know, kind of the stepchildren of Princeton or Princeton alumni compete with him. I got asked to play in a Hoop It Up tournament down in Soldier Field. Loved it. Played in a couple more events with them. And then all of a sudden in 2014, USA Basketball started hosting FIBA 3x3 tournaments with a 12-second shot clock, with continuous play, and these new rules were born. We fell in love with that as well. Obviously, long story, guys. Sorry, I'll try and wrap it up for you. But we just kind of fell into playing in these really cool tournaments domestically. And then once we won a national championship in Colorado Springs, we won in 2014.
Like it was a USA Basketball national championship?
USA Basketball hosted a national championship in Colorado Springs. They've been doing it since 2013, I'd say. But we won 2014, was our first time winning. They asked us to represent the United States internationally. And once we did that, we kind of fell in love with the sport and we decided to start doing it professionally. It took us a little while to get the guys we wanted. Once we started doing that in 2017, 2018, we started traveling the globe. So we've gone to, since 2018, take out COVID, we go to about 15 to 20 events a year in 10 to 12 different countries per year as well.
And the guys on the team, you all had full-time jobs while you were doing this?
Yep, we're kind of weekend warriors. So everybody, we'd leave on Thursday night. We'd work Monday through Thursday, get there Friday, play Saturday, Sunday, two-day events, leave Sunday night, be back in the office on Monday. And we had a scattered team. We had a couple guys in New York, guy in Detroit, a guy in Chicago, some really good players that played collegiately at like Lehigh. Robbie Hummel was on our team.
Purdue, right?
Played at Purdue, played for the Timberwolves for a couple years. So we've just had some really good guys that liked the sport, still had the itch to play. And that's kind of how we kind of fell into this.
Isn't Robbie Hummel on the current 3-on-3 USA 3-on-3 team still?
He was until he retired after 2022. So this was his first year not playing, kind of focus on his, broadcasting career. Jimmer Fredette is now on the national team. And two of our teammates are with him. Kareem Maddox played at Princeton. Canyon Berry played at College of Charleston in Florida. He's a disciple of Rick Berry, son of Rick Berry. So good genes there.
Yeah, awesome. And where do you see? I mean, where do you see it going in the U.S. 3-on-3? I guess from a national team perspective. And why, and some of these other countries are I know really good. Like I believe Serbia has a really good team, correct? And like, why are they so good, or how are they competing with us, or how are we competing with them? I guess maybe I should even say.
I'd say that we're behind. USA Basketball 3-on-3 is a little bit behind. We're catching up slowly. But if you think about just the cost of living, so you do play for money in these events. And, but the cost of living in the United States is pretty high compared to Eastern Europe, which is where it's very prevalent. You can make a full salary, a good life salary in those countries playing 3-on-3. And it's kind of kill what you eat. If you finish first, second, third, fourth, you get some money. If you play poorly, you traveled all that way, wasted a weekend, but played a weekend, didn't make any money, come home. So it's really hard to play professionally as a U.S. player and afford your cost of living, depending on where you live. But also, I think we're really stuck in the mindset of kind of NBA or bust or EuroLeague, you know, like 5-on-5. Like we still have a learning curve to teach players that this is an avenue that you can play professionally in. And I think that in the United States, it is growing. It is getting better. We are seeing more tournaments. We're seeing more professionalized teams. You know, when we started, there was probably two, us and a team from Harlem. Now there's four teams from the United States of America in the top 30 in the world. We're currently ranked 18th in the world, and we've been top five in prior years. But I think that this could turn into maybe some a version of beach volleyball, where college programs can have this as a full-time sport. Now, you're probably going to have to grow it through the club to start, but I could definitely see this kind of be the JV basketball of, you know, Division I, Division II, Division III programs.
Real quick, Chris, you mentioned, because I don't know the answer to this. I'm a little confused. So you mentioned we had four teams in the top 25. Is it like a thing where it's like, hey, you can put your own team together, and it's like, you know, like it doesn't have anything to do with maybe USA Basketball or whatever. Like you just get a group of, you know, five guys, I guess it's five or six or however many, like, how does that work?
Yeah. So the extended roster is six players, but four players go to each event. You could bring all six, but only four players can play an event. But yeah, it's kind of build your own team and go. You do have, at this point, there is a barrier to entry in terms of cost. You got to be able to get yourself there. There's three ways to get into an event. You can earn your way in playing in a qualifying tournament, which is a really good way for startup teams to play, learn how to play professionally. And then if you place first place, second place, you'll earn a spot into a bigger international event. You can be a top ranked team and get allocated events. That's kind of where we're at right now. And then the third way is you can kind of buy your way in. There's wild cards that you can purchase through FIBA or event organizers. Those are quite expensive at this point because it is an Olympic sport, and that barrier to entry is probably in the, you know, five figures right now per event. So that's a barrier entry. The best way to do it is to find a local event in your country, participate, win, and then usually that event is mandated to pay for your travel to the next event, which is pretty cool.
Nice. It kind of sounds like poker a little bit, right? Like you got to pay your way, and if you don't win, you know, like you're kind of out of luck there. Like,
yeah, there is a grassroots style to this. You can literally be streets to the Olympics, which is kind of what our team was. We were just four, five, six friends that got together and were like, we want to take advantage of this, and we got lucky because we were in early.
Craig, I have so many questions, but I do have one that I'd love to get your thoughts on. It's an idea that Brendan, myself, some other leaders within PSB have been kicking around lately, and it's more around the club model of things. And I think it's pretty telling when you say that the U.S. is catching up in the 3x3 world. Because I think that is also paralleling the fact that the world has caught up to where the USA is in terms of basketball overall development. And you see that with the number of foreign players in the NBA and the number of college players that are coming from overseas. And just would love just to kind of hear your thoughts after, you know, playing overseas, being in this 3x3 world, and just the state of basketball and maybe where we as a country need to reshift our focus, because I love FIBA rules. After coaching internationally with our tours that we've taken, I love what FIBA does from the ground up and just how they kind of unify and make basketball one vertical from youth all the way up, versus here in the States, it's just disjointed and fractured, and there's just a lot of things that make it hard to create synergy around youth basketball and then the steps up. So just, yeah, that's a big question, and I think it's a topic for an even deeper podcast, but just your experience and the comparison between U.S. focus in basketball and European focus in basketball.
Yeah, we have to get off our high horse a little bit. The other countries have definitely caught up, and they're willing to jump 2 feet into whatever it may be. They're willing to adjust to different rules. They're willing to learn. They're willing to learn. They're willing to develop, say they're not right. We are a little like, we know what's best, and 5-on-5 is best. Well, it's not always best, you know. We have the talent to be awesome at 3-on-3. But when we come and play in these events, we try and play 5-on-5 when we're playing 3-on-3. when you play 3x3, you have to play 3x3. There's different rules. There's different ways to, there's different strategies. There's different offenses you need to run. And I think all of those translate into being a better 5-on-5 player, whether it's youth, college, high school. But we have to decide, hey, I'm not just going to go 1-on-1 and play ISO ball when I need my teammates. The game is ref differently. It's just completely different. So I think that the biggest thing is just coming in with an open mind, understanding that there are different ways to develop your tools as a basketball player.
What do you think makes for a good 3x3 player?
Versatility.
Is it different than 5-on-5? Or I mean, I don't know. Are there things you look for in 3x3 that you might not look for as much in 5-on-5? Or
yeah, I mean, I think that you would look for them, but you know, like some of the best players that are in the world, probably, and if they were high school players, they probably wouldn't get recruited to Division I. They'd probably be really good Division III players. You know, like they just have motors. They understand the team concept. They're willing to play a role. They're willing to do what they're good at. And obviously versatility plays a huge factor in that. You want to be able to shoot, pass, dribble. You want to be able to kind of have that complete package because you're only one of three guys. So if you're kind of the weak link out there, you can't shoot, then they can sag off and really help on defense. So I think that most of the things would be 5-on-5 later, but it's like that motor is really important, having really good conditioning, and being a team guy, just like kind of doing what you do well, really well.
What is the, in 3x3, what's like the positioning like? Is there certain positions, you know, like obviously in 5-on-5, you got the 1-2-3-5, like in 3-on-3, is it like, hey, you need a point guard, you need like a three man-ish, you need a big guy? Do you need a big guy in 3x3? Like what's hard over there?
When you're playing 3-on-3, because there's so much space, you attack mismatches a lot. So it's hard to have a really, really tall guy, and it's hard to have a really, really small guy. Now there are exceptions to that rule. If you're a dog and you can guard in the post, that's okay. If you're a big that is really mobile and can guard out on the perimeter, then that's a huge advantage. But the best teams are like kind of 6'3" to 6'7", and they can do everything, dribble, pass. Like some of the best passers in the game are big guys. Some of the you really want to be good within kind of the pick and roll. You really want to be able to move without the ball. And some of the best rebounders are, you know, 6'4", 6'5", guys that just chase down a lot of balls.
Craig, so I'm going to put you on a hot seat. And cool. We don't warn you about this, but if you were on the mountaintop and you were able just to shout to the world, what are you shouting out when it comes to just 3v3 and kids development and what – parents, coaches, organizations, whatever, schools, what they should be focused on, or you know, what they need to really take into consideration when considering 3x3 or what their priorities are for the kids?
I think it comes down to let's do more for the kids. If we need to lower the hoops so that they can have a better experience and not be shooting from their hip and create bad mechanics, let's do that. If we need to make short-sided games half court so that every kid gets a better opportunity to develop and gets more touches and gets more opportunities to play, gets more possessions, gets to defend more times, let's do that. Like, let's not be stuck in our ways thinking that the only way to do it is 5-on-5 because that's the easiest way to, you know, roll the ball out there. I think that would be my thing. Let's be ready to make ourselves uncomfortable so that the kids can grow.
Yeah, I love it. Brendan, anything on your end?
No, that was great. I actually learned a lot.
Yeah, I love it. I think there's a lot more around this conversation in general, but that's all for this episode of the Youth Hoops Pod. Craig, man, it's so good to see you again. I miss you. I mean, you just were torn away from me from the summit this past August, and I've been missing something, and it's been Craig Moore, so it's been a pleasure. So thanks for your voice and your presence and joining us. Brendan, as always, I appreciate you, my friend. To the listener, thank you for spending a little time with us. And then until next time, stay focused and leave it all on the court.
Thank you for listening to today's conversation. If you enjoyed the podcast, please leave us a 5-star review and subscribe so that you can stay tuned to future episodes. Follow us on all of our social media platforms at ProSkills Basketball on Instagram and Facebook, and at ProSkills B-Ball on Twitter. And if you'd like to find out more information about our teams, camps, clinics, or virtual basketball, check out our website at www.proskillsbasketball.com. We'll see you soon on another conversation.